We are revolutionaries. There's no reason to be coy about it. Our goal is to replace fiat with Bitcoin. Disruption is almost a quaint term for a change of the magnitude we are bringing about. We're taking power from institutions and transferring it to individuals by giving them control of the value they generate in their lives. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And sorry about for the light week on episodes last week, and this week may be similar, but I'm definitely going to have a piece by Tomer Strohlite out tomorrow, the one that was upvoted on the vote page of why people wonder Bitcoin is alien technology. A really good piece. I've actually already recorded it. I just haven't put it into the episode format yet here. But today we have got one that I really wanted to hit. I read it as soon as it came out. It's short, but it's amazing. It's from the CEO of Breeze Technology, who make the Breeze wallet, which is one of my favorite Lightning wallets on mobile, hands down. And Roy Scheinfeld, we've read a bunch of different things by him on the show. And this is a really good one. This is a really good one because it poses a very serious and very important question that we should be asking ourselves today, because it's so easy to get lost and take the wrong path. And I think there's an important choice with Lightning right now, and that is what he poses in this article, and that there is a clear path that we should be taking. So before we get into that, I want to thank our amazing sponsors. First, I want to thank Fold and the Fold app for giving me sats back on literally everything in my life. They have a rewards debit card, and I use it for legit everything. I use it for everything now. And you can get 20% off, listeners to this show, by going to guyswan.com/fold. If you haven't already done this, Fold is a no-brainer. Then snag your tickets for Bitcoin 2022. If you pay in fiat, make sure you have the Fold card so you can spin on it. But the Bitcoin 2022 conference is not to be missed. It is literally more epic every single year. The price goes up tomorrow. This is the 1st of November. It's going up on the 2nd. Get on it. 10% off using Guy Swan. GuySwann. Go to guyswan.com/Bitcoin2022 to go straight there. Then thanks to the Bitbox hardware wallet. It's just a cool little hardware wallet. Honestly, I'm a huge fan of this thing. I actually still mainly use the desktop app because theirs is just so easy and quick. It's connected to my node, but you can use it with all sorts of other wallets. Spectre, I have one connected to that one as well. But get 5% off with my code going to guyswan.com/bitbox. And lastly, to stack the sats that you send to your Bitbox, Swan Bitcoin. You can't leave these guys out. They are true Bitcoiners making the most sure way to stack your sats and get them to your keys automatically. That's it. Top to bottom, go to swanbitcoin.com/guy. You see my beautiful face at the top and a quote that I'm very proud of on my referral page. Check them all out at guyswan.com. And with that, let's jump into today's article by Roy Scheinfeld. And it is titled, Lightning and the Internet, Choosing the Right Path, by Roy Scheinfeld. Anyone who's watched sci-fi movies about time travel knows that there are certain critical moments when relatively small decisions lock in momentous future trajectories. Like when Marty McFly almost, but didn't, become his own father. Or when Kyle Reese and Sarah Connor made John Connor. When Lou and Kelly, didn't make Jacob in Hot Tub Time Machine. There's a disturbing pattern here, yes, but it's beside the point. Actual history is also full of such critical turning points. Franz Ferdinand almost not getting assassinated like a dozen times. The Vikings colonizing the New World 500 years before Columbus, but stalling because of the weather. A mid-level Soviet officer opting not to tell his superiors about a possible incoming ICBM and saving all life as we know it. Sometimes history happens even when nobody's looking, and it's happening now. The choice we face and what's at stake. We are revolutionaries. There's no reason to be coy about it. Our goal is to replace fiat with Bitcoin. Disruption is almost a quaint term for a change of the magnitude we're bringing about. We're taking power from institutions and transferring it to individuals by giving them control of the value they generate in their lives. In this revolution, we're not alone. On the contrary, there are many different parties with different interests and different goals. A lot of the rallying cries, like P2P, sovereignty, and not your keys, not your coin, are the same, but those unifying ideas can mean different things to different people. Here's the relevant difference at our current crucial moment. Some people don't see Lightning as a payment network, or at least not only as a payment network, and others believe that a payment network is all it ever needs to be. There are two paths we can take as a network. Lightning remains the payment network it was designed to be. We strive to plug it into as many other kinds of digital life and communication as possible, but Lightning remains the Satoshi superhighway. Or, we import the internet onto Lightning because some argue it is too valuable to be just a payment network. The idea here is to refound the entire internet as a decentralized, peer-to-peer, all-purpose data network that handles messaging, streaming video and audio, data files, and the whole freaking internet becomes Lightning traffic. Lightning expansionism. People who work on Lightning tend to be really smart. So even though we, spoiler alert, disagree with the Lightning expansionists, I respect where they're coming from. Expanding Lightning to include all kinds of functions and data sounds great at first. The main argument in favor of reinventing the internet seems to be censorship resistance. Lightning's privacy and distributed network structure has always been attractive to dissidents and even just average citizens of oppressive regimes, and it still is. However, it's also becoming increasingly obvious just how value censorship resistance is, even in the, quote, liberal, democratic West. Just ask OnlyFans. I sympathize with their motives, but I think the future they're trying to reach will weaken the Lightning Network. Let me tell you why. The Satoshi Superhighway. For all the potential merit in expanding Lightning from a payment network to a messaging network to even an all-purpose data network, we remain steadfast for two broad reasons. One, incentives, and two, leveraging existing platforms. An incentivized network is a strong network. Lightning's growth depends on its incentive structure. Remember that Lightning is still in its infancy. The public channels among the roughly 30,000 nodes on Lightning have a combined capacity of about $200 million. That's fantastic for about 3 years of growth, but there is about $40 trillion in easily accessible cash circulating globally among nearly 8 billion people. We still have a lot of onboarding to do. Bitcoin is awesome enough and fiat is broken enough that people will onboard themselves community by community and country by country. But in order to handle them, the network needs liquidity. And in order to attract liquidity, it needs to provide LSPs and routing nodes with a return. Lightning can remain super fast and cheap, but with volume, it needs to become profitable. Lightning expansionism corrodes the network's incentive structure. To compete with the existing internet, An all-purpose Lightning Data Network will have to move traffic for effectively nothing. To contradict that statement, please send me an email and don't forget to pay by the byte. To keep the network functioning, data traffic will have to incentivize third-party routing nodes. Expansionists give lip service to this possibility sometimes, but they also talk about facilitating data transfers back and forth over a peer-to-peer VPN by, quote, pushing the same SAT back and forth. Treating routing node operators worse than Uber drivers is not the way to grow Lightning and onboard the world. How much unprofitable traffic can the network bear before the routing nodes quit and go home? But as long as Lightning is used to transfer Bitcoin, the incentives are built in. From the routing node's perspective, Lightning as a payment network can't not work. Leveraging the actual existing internet. The second reason to preserve Lightning as the Satoshi superhighway is that it's often better to leverage existing platforms. For example, I slice my bread with a knife, not a laser. I boil water with an old electric kettle rather than the microwave because the old tech is far more efficient. Just because Lightning is shiny and new doesn't mean that the old tech is obsolete. We don't need to build a new internet. Whatever function someone wants to add to Lightning probably already exists in a better form somewhere on the internet. So why not use those superior tools and just add Lightning to them? What makes more sense? Reinventing Twitter and trying to convert over 300 million active Twitter users, or just adding a Lightning button to the existing Twitter? The same rationale of building on strong existing foundations can be extended to the internet as a whole. The world has already spent billions upon billions in cell towers, subsea cables, fiber optic lines, satellites, and compatible devices to transmit data. That's the internet, and it works beautifully almost all the time. We collectively spend about $726 billion every year to keep it running. It would be a shame to neglect that investment and all the existing technology just because we want to reinvent that wheel over Lightning. Keeping the internet's hardware, however, doesn't mean that we have to keep its centralization. Lightning can still help musicians, videographers, bloggers, models, and anyone else to distribute their content by transmitting peer-to-peer payments. Anyone worried about Apple Podcasts can and should use the Podcast Index. Anyone worried about Twitter can use Mastodon. And anyone worried about WhatsApp can use Matrix, and soon will be in Breeze. And it works. The Breeze podcast player is an excellent live proof of concept. Podcast content streams over the internet from the creator to the listener, and the sats stream back over Lightning. This little gadget has increased our user base by about 10x, and listeners have paid creators dozens of bitcoins over an incentivized open network. Now let's extrapolate from here. Imagine letting musicians profit directly on a per-stream basis over something like SoundCloud, letting videographers stream content for sats directly on a video platform, letting vendors sell online via a Lightning-enabled Shopify, letting feline enthusiasts sell high-quality cat photos on OnlyFans. That's what it's for, right? Indeed, the expansionists often invoke OnlyFans as the paradigmatic case for why we need to move the internet onto Lightning. But recall that the obstacle OnlyFans faced wasn't the internet. It was the credit card companies. So fix that. And the way to fix it is to let the internet do what it does best. Move lots of data everywhere, and to let Lightning do what it does best, move Bitcoin quickly and cheaply from one peer to another. The best way to grow Lightning is to let it be what it is, not bloating it with extraneous functions. Conclusion. In those time travel movies, the characters going back in time always have an advantage over their predecessors, who are stuck in their own time. The time travelers know where the crucial turning points in history are, but the people moving forward in time don't. We're lucky. We know that we're revolutionizing money, and we can see the different future trajectories extend out before us. We have the choice. Lightning expansionists have a plan to reinvent the internet on Lightning, but the plan would eliminate the incentives that grow the network. Those paths would curtail Lightning's growth and potentially sacrifice this awesome thing we've already developed so far. The alternative is to push Lightning out into the world and expand its utility by combining it with the best existing technologies that already perform those other functions beautifully. This strategy is efficient. It preserves the incentive structure that has fueled and will continue to fuel Lightning's growth, and it leverages the progress achieved by decades of specialization. Granted, we still need to do a lot of work in order to allow mainstream internet services to integrate Lightning payments. Twitter with Strike integration is a great start, but we need to enable true peer-to-peer payments without the intermediaries. We're not there yet, but when our descendants come back in time, they're going to be so proud of us. All right, and that closes it out. This is a great piece. I definitely want to get into it. But before we do, let's take a second and hit our sponsor for today, which is the Fold app and rewards card. So some morons get points denominated in that bleeding fiat crap from their credit card. Some of them get airline miles, which really should just be called points too, because they do not translate one-to-one for miles. I'm not sure if you've checked that, but it doesn't. And remember, these are credit cards. It's easy to give rewards for credit cards because if you don't pay it off immediately, you are paying them interest. And especially if they're going to pay you in inflationary points. Fold has a rewards debit card. There is nothing quite so satisfying as getting your T-Mobile bill and you spin and get 2% back in Bitcoin. That's right, real sats, not Fold points, not crypto crap, not some new blockchain token, real Bitcoin that you can withdraw to your BitBox, your cold card, your Trezor, mobile wallet. You can put it on Lightning, whatever you want. They are your sats. This is my banking now. And I honestly regret taking so long to like fully commit to using this, to be honest. You lucky Audionauts get 20% off by going to my link and using Bitcoin Audible promo code. Go to guyswan.com/fold. Again, that is 20% off just by going to the URL box and typing in guyswann.com/fold. Easiest 20% you ever made for the best rewards card out there. All right. So this piece. It's funny. I have very much been in the Lightning expansionists group. I've bounced around quite a bit, and I haven't really thought about it in the idea of the trade-off. It's just amazing to see the architecture and the network that is Lightning and the possibilities that come with it. But the more and more I have thought about the idea of moving data onto this, like I always thought, like when I would hear those discussions, there'd be some part in the back of my mind and be like my node, my Raspberry Pi node is not going to do that, but it can handle payments and, you know, beef it up a little bit with RAM in like a year or two. And it can also still continue to keep a live, you know, running routing table for the entire Lightning network. It can handle that if that's all it really needs to do. And I don't mean like in the context of like Umbral or Embassy making your own little home server and stuff, because that's not on Lightning. It's just your Lightning node is also doing that because it's a computer. And I actually tend to separate that stuff. Like I have Umbral, but I don't really use my, I don't use it for my file server, even though I have it downloaded just to play around with it and so that it's available to me. But I actually separately got my Embassy specifically for that because I wanted to use all of those apps on a Embassy on a, you know, small computer and home server that I would have that just kind of sets that stuff up by default and kind of has the idea or the framing, the mental framework and the security framework of we are securing a Bitcoin node, because I don't know. I just trust that mindset going into it. So I think of these as devices with very isolated functions. I want my Umbral Lightning node or my Embassy Lightning node to be Lightning. And then I actually spin up an additional Umbral or an additional Embassy strictly for the sake of running the server or something else, or having an additional, like, kind of a backup mechanism for like a Bitcoin node or something if I still want to sync fully rather than prune, et cetera, et cetera. It just kind of gives me options and something else to segregate the amount of work that each one of these devices is doing. But as soon as you're talking about putting all of the data on the Lightning Network, actually moving it through blocks of messaging, like payment information on Lightning, there's definitely a problem with that. There's definitely a issue that is going too far too fast, and I like the idea, you know, reinventing the wheel. Lightning wasn't designed and isn't about moving massive amounts of data. The one thing I've thought for a long time that was even justifiable, or that seemed justifiable to me, was messaging. But I'm increasingly even going down the road that maybe that's just too much. Because when we're sending empty payments with just the idea of sending a message, you're basically trying to trick the Lightning nodes into sending a fake payment so that the details, the memo attached to the payment, gets to the other person. Now, I love Sphinx, and it's been working really well more recently, whereas it was a little bit like, it kind of felt clunky or a little bit delayed, I guess you could say, maybe at the beginning. I mean, that could be a context of it running over Tor. I'm not even sure. Maybe it is just the messaging over Lightning is slightly less reliable, or just has a higher delay because of the mechanism of routing, how the data is actually transferred over Lightning. But whenever it does have a hiccup, whenever it does seem to have some sort of issue or delay or something, it pops into my mind again to think about, like, doesn't Lightning kind of solve the hosting problem if you don't have it centralized over the inability to monetize? Isn't that really the core of why so much of the internet has been centralized to date? And how much are we trying to optimize Lightning for before we've really figured out payments? Before we've got, I mean, just like he says, the problem of payments is really, really, really big. We're talking about trillions of dollars and billions of people. It's not as if that isn't a big enough task in and of itself. And we kind of fall right back into the violation of the rule or the law of layering in engineering. I mentioned this multiple times on the show, and I could not find it earlier for the life of me. There was, if anybody actually remembers this or remembers his name, there was a not often hailed or prominently discussed early engineer of the internet that basically put his foot down hard about, no, we need to separate this stuff out, and we need to do this in layers. In fact, he was the one that argued against TCP/IP being adding streaming, which was IPv5, and he also was the reason TCP and IP are separate protocols, that they are not one, but they are, one is layered on top of the other. We basically violate that rule again by thinking, because we see the profound decentralization and the incredible architecture of the Lightning Network as a payment system, that, oh, we're going to take these hundreds of other protocols and all of their traffic and all of their routing mechanisms and all this stuff, and we're going to just shove it all into Lightning. We can't lose focus. Fix the money, fix the world. That is why we are here. We cannot get lost in all the Web3 talk. Let people who build Web3 protocols and want to reinvent social media or whatever it is, let's let them build those protocols. But it shouldn't be Lightning. Lightning is not that. We need to fix the money. It needs to be our top and absolute focus. And I know I get excited about all the possibilities, and I love the idea of just any sort of radical decentralizing of all of the things that we use and the systems that we want. Like I wish we had a peer-to-peer marketplace and all of this stuff. But that can actually happen now that we have a peer-to-peer decentralized monetary network, a payments network. I don't want to rush into cramming all of this into the Lightning Network and kind of thoughtlessly sacrificing the core function that makes the Lightning enable those things. We don't want to fall victim to the exact same false thinking of sticking everything into the blockchain and then just do that on Lightning because, oh, well, now we have a layer, so there are no other layers. Lightning is the only layer, and it's the only thing that we should be concerned about. Let's take all of the layers of the internet and just shove it on the Lightning. We got to specialize. We got to make sure that this thing stays incentivized. We got to make sure that this thing is a monetary and payment network. And so many of the problems of the internet and its centralization are a problem with money, money and payments. I love that he brought up OnlyFans because that's what I was actually thinking about not too long ago. Somebody said, oh, we need to decentralize OnlyFans. There's actually a conversation about it. I was like, no, we just need to get rid of the credit card companies. And I was just talking about this in the conversation, in the debate that I was having with them. Well, it wasn't really a debate, but I was just like, no, the only problem, they don't have a hosting problem. Their problem is one solely of payments. Think about it. Every single thing that could, let's say we are trying to decentralize. I mean, obviously we want to decentralize as much as we can because there are few problems of corruption, control, and censorship in anything that is decentralized, right? Like that's the point of decentralization. But we also have to remember how often that comes with some sort of a sacrifice, particularly in either the user experience or the delay, the responsiveness to it that most people don't put up with. Most people will not actually make that trade-off. Like Mastodon is a decent example. It's a great alternative when you still need to communicate with people, but there's a reason why it hasn't competed with Twitter. And I think it's important that we focus on the highest value decentralization, which is money and payments. It brings me back to the idea of, or the Simon Morris series that I read on the show ages ago, which is so good. If you haven't heard it yet, in fact, I will remember to put this in the notes. Simon Morris, BitTorrent. The Lessons from BitTorrent series is an excellent series, and one of the laws of decentralization, of what can BitTorrent teach us about decentralization and where it works and where it doesn't work. And one of his main laws was minimum viable decentralization. Do not make it do too many things. Do the absolute least most important thing that it needs to be decentralized, to be secure. And Bitcoin and Lightning is money and payments. If we try to do too much, we could very well kill it. And back to the thing I was mentioning was that everything that could be a decentralized protocol or a decentralized service or a decentralized hosting network, it cannot be the second you need to monetize it. The second it involves money, it must be centralized. The internet doesn't have a data problem. It has a money problem. It's not possible to monetize a decentralized protocol right now because we don't have decentralized payments. But that's not true anymore. We can actually build those protocols and those services and those networks now because we have restructured the monetization. We can restructure the monetization of them. We can, that protocol can talk to a keysend address, just like, I mean, not unlike the RSS feed thing. The podcast index is such a brilliant example. They don't change the hosting. You still just get whatever hosting you need. I don't host it on my Lightning node. But all I have to do is put in a tag in the RSS feed that just has a keysend address and instructions for the payment, and then someone just sends me a payment. We're tying payments and a Lightning ID to essentially anything that we want to. We're building the infrastructure so that it is integrated when someone finally makes their way to Lightning. They can use it wherever they want to. Those are the things we need to build. We need to put a keysend address into every freaking RSS feed. It needs to be by default. And that doesn't mean that we need to revolutionize hosting. We can, because we can put a keysend address in there for our host and split 5% of the fees with them. But that doesn't mean we have to reinvent RSS. That doesn't mean that we have to put it on Lightning nodes and pay them by the byte to send it over the Lightning network in payment messages. We've already got the infrastructure for that. We've got it. We can download it off of GitHub or off of just any sort of website, Castapod, whatever it is that we're using. All we have to do is get those platforms, those people, those hosts, that software to recognize and read the address, to read Lightning. That's all we need it to do. And suddenly all of that becomes possible without actually changing or making Lightning bloated with all of these other things, when really all it needs to do is payments, and the rest of the internet can finally do those other things in a decentralized way. We can 100% revolutionize everything about digital monetization and remove those central structures that require an institution and a company to be at the heart of all of it, just for payments to exist, for monetization to exist in the first place, just by making Lightning work with payments. That's all we have to do. So maybe that's the path. Maybe that's it. You know, maybe we get everything we want. As long as Lightning works for payments, it has the proper incentive structure, and, you know, like Roy said, it needs to be profitable. You know, when this thing is built out, there needs to be the LSP model. I don't know, it would be really interesting to see how this plays out as we move forward, because I think some of this will actually work itself out. It might not even need to be a conscious decision. Because if there's a lot of traffic moving through the Lightning network and it's being heavily used for data, you know, as soon as somebody, if that's like bogging down my node and it's like being slow to respond or do payments because of all of this other work that it's doing, you know, when somebody makes a configuration that says stop sending data through it, or, you know, create some sort of a firewall to limit exactly how much it would be, I would do that. You know, like I would do that for my own node. So I feel like there might be a degree of, you know, requiring somebody to pay by the byte just isn't going to work. I mean, Roy even says in this article is that, like, okay, well, you know, pay for how much it costs to send your email. Like, most people they just want it to work, right? People don't want a consumer choice. There's a great piece by Szabo, actually, is Minimizing Consumer Worry. And he talks about how just the very nature of, as a consumer, having to decide on whether or not this thing is worth a penny or two is actually wasting more value in having to make a decision than the actual choice. So it's like worth 5 cents to not have to make the choice, but then you're being asked to make a one penny choice. We're talking about in the context of bytes. And, you know, even honestly, the streaming sats thing, I actually find the podcast index and the podcasting 2.0 thing far more interesting, just in a matter of integrating Lightning into the RSS feed. Like I said, putting that tag and a key send address. I was talking with, I can't remember what his freaking name is. He's Capitalist Dog One on Twitter. A good friend I work with, he does the lightning.page stuff, which I'm really excited about. There's some really interesting stuff that he's building and trying to make a content platform that's integrated with Lightning. But we were talking about it, and he had a really good point that, the more I think about it, the more I kind of agree that the streaming sats thing might actually be maybe more akin to Satoshi Dice early on in Bitcoin, is that when there was no traffic on Bitcoin, Satoshi Dice worked really well. For anybody who doesn't know, it was a gambling website where everything just happened in on-chain transactions. So literally it would be sending millions of transactions. Like, it would just, every single roll of the dice and the whole gambling on everything just happened. Like, it was just massive, massive publishing of transactions. You can actually go back and look at it if you want to see it and see all the blocks. It was just full of Satoshi dice when fees were essentially zero. But as time went on, obviously, fees started to go up, and then there was mempool weather, so to speak. You'd get a backlog. And suddenly that didn't make much sense anymore. And I think there's probably a point in Lightning where that will happen to streaming sats. And there's two different limitations, which I think, and me and a capitalist dog were talking about, that could lead to this. First is just purely from a fee perspective. If Lightning ever develops fees, if we ever have a strong incentive structure in, you know, solid fees on Bitcoin and a very big, robust network on Lightning that is constantly changing and trying to keep liquidity right so that all payments essentially go through, something happens to correct it at all times, then it seems completely obvious to me that a fee market has to develop. I mean, that is going to be the basis of Lightning. And it will be small fees. It will be very cheap fees. It will be vastly cheaper than the current internet infrastructure or the current banking infrastructure, specifically because it doesn't have any borders. It doesn't specifically have any rent seekers. There's nobody who can get in the middle and stop a payment. It is pure competition among routes. So the fee pressure will be pushed very, very low. But nonetheless, fees have to exist. And when that happens, it will make a whole lot more sense to pay a $1 payment for a 2-penny fee than to send 10 10-cent payments at 2-cent fee apiece. So just in the idea that Lightning is going to be robust and a profitable network infrastructure that is maintained by fees going through it, I think the streaming sats thing would only work if you have a direct channel, or only really make sense in the long term that way. But then there's actually another one, is the current Lightning node can only handle, you can't just write a billion HTLCs in your channel all at once. The current Lightning implementations can only manage 400 HTLCs on a single channel at a single time. So if you've got 50,000 people listening to your show, and, or more importantly, 50,000 people who download and listen to your show, like within the first few minutes of your podcast, like Joe Rogan or somebody, and they all want to stream sats to you, the node can't handle it. None of the channels can do that. It just use up all the HTLCs and then people can't download the podcast. They can't stream sats. Yet there is absolutely nothing stopping somebody who has a podcast RSS feed tagged with PubKey and, you know, maybe even has an LSAT, like a Lightning authentication, so that proof of payment is your authenticator to download the RSS feed. There's no reason why exactly what is built today can't just be done as a subscription. Pay $5 a month and get the podcast. And I think there's a reason why that model is so successful. There's one consumer decision and then just access for a set duration. You just don't have to worry or think about it. And I think that's what most people want to do. And as long as we make Bitcoin and Lightning decentralized, reliable, and robust, money and its payment network, we can really revolutionize the monetization of all of these other protocols and actually fix their major centralization problems. And then the most important question I think that Roy brings up in this article is, which is easier? Which is easier? Reinventing everything on the internet or just making the system we already have that does payments pretty damn good amazing? And that will change everything. Fix the money, fix the world. Okay. That's my rant on this one. I really love this article. And, you know, I would say that I still have a lot of sympathy. That's a stupid word. I still identify with the Lightning expansionist idea. Like, I still can't not get excited about the idea of a Lightning node with a storefront on it, like in a kind of peer-to-peer BISC sort of marketplace thing. But I kind of think Roy's right. When I read this, I'm just like, he makes too much damn sense. So I'd love to hear what you guys think about it. I love everything that's happening on the Lightning Network. I think there's just it's a constant thing to keep up with, because it's just such a cool, the possibilities are just limitless. They really are. And I think the very nature of fixing money and payments is so crucial to fixing so many of the other problems in the world. With that, a huge thank you to everybody. A huge thank you to our sponsors. We've got the Fold app, which, by the way, they have gift cards, just discounted gift cards. By the way, if you haven't done that, that's free. Just download the app. Of course, the premium discount for 20% at guyswan.com/fold. And of course, Swan Bitcoin for your automatic sat stacking. Stack every week, every day, every month, whatever works for you, and automatically withdraw. Withdraw that mess to your BitBox so you're keeping your sats safe with your keys on a secure, easy-to-use device. And then you got Bitcoin 2022 where you can come hang out with me and all the Bitcoiners, and we're going to talk about our Fold cars and our BitBox and our Swan accounts. And we're going to hang out with a 10% discount. Okay, guys, I'm coming. 10% discount at guyswan.com/2022, and I will catch you guys there. Thank you all so much for listening. This is Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan. We are here fostering understanding and digging into everything about the revolution in money that is revolutionizing the world. Like Roy said, let's not cheapen it with some shit like disruption. That is not even close to what we are doing. We are revolutionaries. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, everybody. This has been Bitcoin Audible, a 111 production.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.